Well, it's almost over. We have all gone through the pre-election and the post-election hype focused on personalities as who's the best, who's the wisest, who's the smartest, who's the hardest working, etc., etc. It almost makes you want to sit back and say, hey, do I count? Or am I useful around here? Or you wonder, does what I say or what I do make any difference whatsoever? Where do I fit into this big scheme of things? Some of us may just hit overload and stop listening and stop doing anything without answering any of these questions. We may just want to kind of withdraw into a little cocoon and do nothing or wait for somebody else to fix things. Well, today we're going to look at three people who didn't just stop and wait on others, but who lived the answers to the questions that I just posed. The first person I'd like to address, if you would turn over to Luke 2, is a man by the name of Simeon. In Luke 2, verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ," or Messiah. So Simeon is the answer to those who may think that they are too old to matter. He's the answer to those who think that their abilities and their talents are too limited to be useful, or are marginalized to be of use to God. Because by the implication of Scripture, Simeon was in his latter years of life. Who knows how old he was, but it had been revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before his death. Now Simeon, as we saw, is a man of character and of faith, of devotion. I would suggest you read the whole section there. But Simeon had the proper perspective in life. He was patient for who knows how many years or how many decades he had been waiting for the Messiah. But he knew that God had promised that he would see him. He was expectant because he was looking for the Messiah, unlike many in Israel during that time. And he was thankful. He was thankful. Simeon was also submissive to God's will, used by God, if we'll look, that he said that he took Jesus up into his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation," in verses 29 and 30. So he recognized and was the first to recognize Jesus as Messiah. But he also was used by God to warn Joseph and Mary of some of the tragedies that they were going to see during Christ's life. Now there's someone else that we should take note of. He's kind of an unsung hero in the New Testament. Turn over to Acts 9. In Acts 9, we're going to look at the life of Ananias, not Ananias and Sapphira, but Ananias in Acts 9, verses 10 through 17 is the section, but we're just going to look at a few of those verses. Acts 9, starting in verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Saul didn't have too good of a reputation. But what did Ananias do? If you read the whole section, first of all, he listened to God. He said, "Hey, I'm here." But then he went on and he ignored all of his fears. He addressed those to God. But God said, "Hey, this man's special." And so he ignored his excuses. He ignored his fears. And he obeyed God. He went on and laid his hands on Saul and baptized Saul so that his name would be changed to Paul. Ananias, like Simeon, was close enough to God to hear what God had to say. Now, most of our prayers, if you're anything like me, is taken up in talking to God, in asking God for this or that, or expressing our concerns and our worries to God. But we are talking to God. But when we are talking, we are not listening. God already knows what we need, especially if we've already presented it to him in one or two requests. But maybe, like Ananias, we should listen more rather than talk more. Or perhaps be like Simeon, to be led by the Holy Spirit, as Simeon was, to go into the temple at the time that Joseph and Mary were there to present Christ. Then, if we listen more, we might be used by God more, or at least find more ways to be of service. Now, there's some others in our little search for people that can answer our questions. We have two others, and we're going to touch on one other. If you would, turn to Acts 18, since you're in Acts 18. We're going to talk about Aquila and Priscilla. Now here, Aquila and Priscilla were Jews, but they had been thrown out of their home, out of Rome, because of prejudice and persecution by Roman authorities. So they resettled in Corinth, and they became friends with the Apostle Paul. They hosted him in their home after he fled Athens. Let's look at chapter 18, starting in verse 1. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had been recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla." Why? Next phrase. "Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. By occupation, they were tent makers, as was Paul." So Paul was able to stay with Aquila and Priscilla even after they had been displaced and uprooted. And Paul continued his preaching and making tents. And they continued with Paul, and Paul continued with them until he left for Antioch, and he stopped in his trip. He stopped at Ephesus. There, in Ephesus, he left Aquila and Priscilla, and they, in turn, met Apollos. Now, they did just like they did with Paul. They took in Apollos, and they taught him a deeper understanding of Christianity, more completely, because if you remember, Apollos only knew the baptism of John. So they helped Apollos understand yet more. So here you've got three characters, Simeon, you've got Ananias, and you got Aquila and Priscilla. And if you want to take another side trip, look at Apollos. He was not only preaching before they met him, but he continued to do so. And he is mentioned by Paul in Corinthians when Paul was chiding the Corinthians about being divided into little camps and cliques and groups. You know, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of so-and-so. Apollos was very influential, but he wasn't looking for followers. So it's to summarize, if we are older like Simeon, God can use us as he did with Simeon. If we should have doubts, or if we should have fears or concerns or worries like Ananias did, God can use us if we are close enough to him and if we are listening to him and willing to be guided. If we encounter prejudice or persecution like Aquila and Priscilla, but yet stay strong in the faith as they did, God can still use us. He can use us to help the ministry do the work of the church and to help us grow the church. Are we useful? Which is one of our questions. Yes, we are. Do you and I matter? Yes, we do. Are you and I important? Yes, we are. When we are close to God, when we listen to him, when we take advantage of the opportunities he opens for us, we are useful.